no problem to hold you, tongue stroke you, please you like I'm supposed to. Touch spots that ain't ever been touched, and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freaking, king size squeaking after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24/7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Girl, you sweeter than a cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy would be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you a sweet dream between the sheets.
Was the night before that night. I was born on that day, but not last night. Once upon a time, I had my cash right. Plug called, he ain't act right. I'm far from a slow nigga in this fast life. He pulled up, I got low, hit the black light. Once upon a time, slimy niggas catch a bad night. When bad police die, they don't deserve that guy. Once upon a time, they need to feel what God raps like. Oh, so folks feel me like a past light. A head bustle, I'm shining bright as a mag light. Once upon a time, when will the government act right? Opinionated imbeciles just.
What's good, everybody? It's your man, Big Dom, coming live and at you with another True Players Podcast episode. Hitting you guys up, previewing and recapping last week's football games, as well as talking about the Knicks. The Knicks losing to the Mavericks today. A lot to talk about in this podcast. Well, we're going to get straight into it, guys. We're going to talk about last week's New York Giants loss on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboys, in which, you know, again, the Giants had a lead in halftime against the Cowboys, and all of a sudden they lost 28-20 after the game, in which, you know, Ezekiel Elliott had a great game. He had 16 catches for 92 yards, really took over the game, and Dak had a subpar game, 21 for 30 for 261. He had two TDs, also two interceptions, and that's how the Giants got to the early lead with the early turnovers early in the game. Now, As I mentioned before in a previous podcast about the New York Giants, they're starting to become exposed, not having that receiver outside to take over the game for them. Darius Slayton has done a great job, but you need another receiver out there next to him. And they're bringing nine man in the box against Saquon. Saquon had 11 carries, 39 yards, and a TD. They got to find a way to get this man some touches, not just in the backfield, but more in the passing game, as far as swing passes, screen passes, halfback screen passes, or even put them in the slot to get them some touches. You know what I'm saying? Again, the defense has been slipping lately. So CeeDee Lamb got wild, got six receptions for 166 yards. What else can I say? I understand Daniel Jones is slowing down with the fumbling the football, getting stripped again and stripped and stuff like that. But there seems to be an issue again with the offensive line. It's probably because of the lack of receivers they have on the team that the offensive linemen are getting exposed. And Brian Daboll needs to correct that before they game against the Commanders, which is not going to be an easy game. Ron Rivera's teams always come to play. They always have a solid defense with Chase Young coming off the edge. And Heinicke, you know what I'm saying? He's a decent quarterback for them. I mean, he has, won some games for them, whereas Carson Wentz wasn't winning games when he was playing for them. So we're going to see what happens, what goes on going on Sunday at 1 p.m. Okay, guys? So we're going to segue over to the New York Jets. They beat the Bears 31-10. As Mike White was the starting quarterback for the New York Jets, which, you know, it uplifted the team. It brought a different energy to the team. The defense had a different pep to their step, even though they didn't play as good as they did last week. But they had a different pep to their step. The receivers was Garrett Wilson had a new energy. Elijah Moore had a new energy during this time. You know, he got his first touchdown of the season. Two catches, 64 yards for Elijah Moore. And Garrett Wilson had five receptions, 95 yards, and two TDs. Mike White was brilliant. 22 for 28, 315, three TDs. And I don't know if you guys know this. Mike White, in four career starts, has two career 300-yard passing games, whereas Zach Wilson only had one in 20 starts. Food for thought, guys. And I'm going to touch base on that a little bit later in regards to that. As Zach Wilson was inactive for the game, he did take some practice reps before the game, but they made him inactive to have them sit back and watch the football game. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something here. It's not entirely his fault that the team struggles when he's the quarterback. However, it's also the offensive coordinator. And I believe having Mike White as quarterback allowed to hide the flaws of the offensive coordinator. Mike White was quick with the ball. He wasn't getting sacked too much. His decisions was concise and definite. And he made some great throws in tight windows. But by the same token, that could be a little bit dangerous because the pass can be picked off at times. But he didn't have any turnovers that game. They played a Bears team that was without Justin Fields. So that kind of helped them a little bit because I think Justin Fields would have gave that defense a little bit of an issue. Okay. James Robinson was a healthy scratch in that game. And I saw Zonovan Knight put in some great numbers, 14 carries, 69 yards, gave a burst of energy in that running back position. But we had Michael Carter, was injured, hurt his ankle. And every time the New York Jets get on a roll, as far as, you know, getting on a roll of winning, it was good feeling amongst the team. Then you got a player complaining about why he was benched or not playing or didn't get enough touches. This time it's James Robinson with the complaints. Question the coaching staff, questioning the organization about why they traded for him if he was gonna be placed in inactive. And ladies and gentlemen, I understand guys want to play, but this has to stop. This team is on the verge of trying to make the playoffs here. We can't have distractions like that disrupt the chemistry of the team right now. So it's up to Joe Douglas, it's up to Robert Saleh to correct that. And I believe since Michael Carter is going to be out next game, you're going to see some more Zonovan Knight and some James Robinson and also Ty Johnson in that trinity of running back rotation for the game against the Vikings, which is going to be a very tough game for the Jets. You got to deal with the likes of Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins, though, and never underestimate him as a quarterback. He can get things done. It's a beautiful ceremony. This is the first time that I've seen the New York Jets win a game when one of their great players entered the Ring of Honor. And we had the pleasure of seeing Darrelle Revis being inducted into the New York Jets Ring of Honor, a well-deserved feat for a Hall of Fame cornerback, the man who coined Revis Island. So, like I said, we're going to see what's going to happen with the New York Jets this week against the Vikings, and hope they play well and hope to continue the magic with Mike White. But I'm going to touch on a few things that I've seen during the week after Mike White, played a hell of a game in an efficient game. You got the Zach Wilson apologist jumping in and saying that, oh, he shouldn't have never been benched. Playing him against the Bears was the best time to play him. No. The guy, with his attitude and his comments, created a different energy in that locker room. So he needed to be benched so that I'm sitting there and watch it. And as long as Mike White has the pulse of the locker room, as long as he has the team that has a different energy, he should be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season, if it leads to playoffs or not. So that's my opinion about the situation. I seen Chris Sims and Kurt Warner, saying that how it's not all Zach Wilson's fault. We know that. We know it's not all his fault, but most of it is his fault. This kid couldn't make a simple screen pass. He's here trying to be sidearm, trying to be all fancy and stuff. He needs a couple of games to work on his mechanics so he can be a better quarterback, a more efficient quarterback for the time he either regains his starting position or not. But I think if I was the Jets, I would look at another quarterback for next season. That's as real as I'm going to tell you. You got to look for a new quarterback for next season. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. Swing a trade for him. Never know. Never know. And then today, we watch the Knicks again. lose to the Mavericks after having a halftime lead. Doncic had 30 points, and Tim Hardaway Jr., a player that I've always liked when he played for the Knicks, dropped 28 points. And he was up for this game playing in the Garden against his former team, against his former teammate Rick Brunson. I mean, not Rick Brunson, Jalen Brunson. I'm sorry, guys. But Julius Randle drops 24 points. Again, Julius Randle has an efficient season. But I need him to be more efficient. Yes, I'm being greedy because you're taking time away from my boy Obi Toppin, but you're playing good basketball. But however, it's not converting to winning on the standings. With that, we got to find out what's going on. Brunson and Tim Hardaway Jr. dropped 13 points apiece, and also again, the halftime blues. You go into halftime with the lead, and for some reason, you don't come out with the same energy. Is that an indictment on Tom Thibodeau? Is Tom Thibodeau the answer to this team? Again, why do we have to have this conversation? They were out-rebounded throughout the game. Turnovers again. They were turning the ball over. You can't have that. If you're going to be a playoff team, you can't have the turnovers, and you got to be consistently rebounded. So where is the Knicks going to go from here with him, with him as coach? If you make a move, you got no. If I'm a Knicks fan, I want Mark Jackson. If you fire Thibodeau, you got to bring in Mark Jackson. Case closed. There's no discussion. Mark Jackson has to be the next Knicks coach if they decide to make a change. So. Now, as we segue into the news of Jacob DeGrom, one of my favorite pitchers of all times for the New York Mets, is taking his talents to Texas to play with the Texas Rangers. Okay. As a Mets fan who's seen him pitch since 2014, it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see one of your homegrown players go to another team after you gave him a three-year, $140 million contract. He goes to the Rangers for 5 years, $185 million, with the option for a six-year that makes it $222 million. And he signed that contract without allowing the Mets to have a counteroffer, according to reports. He did not let the Mets counter on the offer. After this guy has said, he said he was going to opt out, but he said he wanted to stay with the New York Mets. But, you know, truth be told, he didn't want to stay with the Mets. He didn't want to stay with the Mets, guys. He wanted a new scenery, and he felt his run with New York is over. Which, hey, it is what it is, right? It's business. So now let me tell you the reason. I'm going deep about why this happened. I'm going to go deep, but you guys may think I'm crazy. Who was the general manager before Eplin and Jared Scott, all them guys? Brody Van Wagenen, right? Brody Van Wagenen was also Jacob DeGrom's agent before he became the New York Mets GM. Was there hard feelings when they fired Brody from the Jacob DeGrom and CAA agency? Were they involved to ensure that he goes to another team? It's a logical question to ask, because Brody was the guy at CAA for the baseball side. He came to the Mets to be a general manager. Steve Cohen fired him. Think about that for 1 second, guys. Think about it hard. Now, the fans are crying, you know, we lost DeGrom, it hurts, this, that, and the other. But keep in mind one thing, guys. As great as he was for the New York Mets, two-time Cy Young Award winner, pitching the World Series in 2015, pitching the playoffs this season, I'm going to be blatantly honest with all of you guys. Something was off with him when he came back from that injury. He was not the same pitcher anymore. So you're going to invest that money. That's how money into a pitcher was not the same anymore. And he's 34 years old. Plus, he has a tear in his ulnar ligament in his elbow, in his throwing elbow, that could pop at any time. Do you want to invest that type of money in that type of player? Think about it. I think the Mets did the right thing, even though his heart was set on leaving the Mets. For you to be offered a contract and then you run. Now you run and not run and sign a contract without giving him an opportunity to counter. You didn't want to be on the team. And that's his decision. That's his decision. But now, this is where the issue also arises too. Yes, you had Scherzer, but you overpaid to get him there, and he couldn't make it to the playoffs. The first game he was struggling, he was done. Jacob DeGrom, the only way he would come back to the Mets was he had to beat that salary with Scherzer. And the Mets didn't do it. I mean, Max Scherzer is a good signing, but it affected the ability to re-sign Jacob DeGrom or have a fair shot to re-sign Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom felt slighted. That's why he opted out. But I believe he felt slighted by the contract that Scherzer got from the Mets. Okay? But where did the Mets go from here? The Mets is talking about Justin Verlander and Carlos Rondon. Carlos Rondon is a Scott Boras client, and so is Justin Verlander. If I'm Uncle Steve, let's try to get both of them. Why not? Let's try to get both of them. If not, you get one. I prefer Rondon because he's younger. But you can't spend $80,000 on pitchers in their 40s. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And I hope they don't go there with Verlander. Okay? As especially when the winter meetings is coming up soon, the Mets are flirting with bringing back Chris Bassitt. They already brought back Carlos Carrasco. So right now the pitching staff is Scherzer, Carrasco, McGill, and Peterson. For now, so okay, starting pitching. It's not DeGrom and Scherzer at the top, but it's okay. But they need bats. Do they go after Trey Turner? I want them to bring back Michael Conforto. It doesn't even matter whether or not they re-sign Nimmo or not. Bring back Michael Conforto and to solidify the left-handed hitting DH position. Give him an opportunity to swing that bat. Get his feet wet and rejuvenate. And then next season, you're gonna put him in either left field or right field. If you keep Nimmo, but if you don't keep Nimmo, I can see where Stolen Casher goes to center field, and you need somebody for right field. Unless you sign Trey Turner and put him at second base with Lindor, and you put Owen McNeil out there. In the outfield. But they do need to upgrade at third base as well. You can move McNeil to third base as well. You know, Escobar, he had a great September, but he didn't have a good season altogether. Not at all. So where did the Mets go from here? Winter meetings is going to start this week. We'll see what we come up with. I hope to do another episode with my guy Matt Matthew from Jacobin Sports Show, and definitely, we're going to sit there and talk about the Jets. We're talking about the Mets, hot stove. We're talking about a little bit about the Knicks as well. That's what I hope to talk to him about. I'll let you guys know when we'll be able to get together and do that episode and have it presented out to you. I think we're probably going to go live. We're probably going to go live with the podcast with me and Matt. So on that note, you know, enjoy the football games. Enjoy your Sunday. and things like that. We got a few episodes coming up soon. So it's your man Big Dom. I'm gonna sign off on this podcast. You can listen, watch the podcast on YouTube and Patreon. To search for True Players Podcast on both platforms. You also can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, and many other platforms that provides the audio version of this podcast. So it's your man, Big Dom. I'm going to sign off on this podcast. I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.